Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today is Dr. John, who is known far and wide for his unique talent playing and singing the blues. His roots are in New Orleans, but his style is all his own. Call it what you will. And I don't know what you call it, John, but I love it. How are you?
Great.
Welcome to Piano Jazz.
It's a real treat to be here with you.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing you sing and play something, so what's this one going to be?
Right Place at the Wrong Time. That was my biggest selling record.
I've been in the right place. Must have been the wrong time. I was in the right seat. Must have been the wrong line. I've been on the right trip. Made it in the wrong car. My head's in a bad place. Wonder what it's bad for. I've been in the right place. Must have been the wrong time. I was in the right world. Must have been wrong. I've been running, trying to catch hung up in my mind. Got to give myself a good talking to this time. Need a little brain salad surgery. Got the cure for this insecurity.
You know, I love that song. It's got such a great rhythmic feel to it. You've got a sort of natural, built-in, swinging feeling. Besides which, that lyric, I guess that's sort of the story of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what it exactly is. In fact, when we recorded it, that's all I had to it was that one line. And I was lucky I had a bunch of songwriters around me to give me some more lines to finish it up, make it sound like a real song.
Oh, great. So everybody put their suggestion in the pot.
Yes. At the time I was recording that for Atlantic, there was like guys like Bob Dylan and Sir Douglas and Betty Midler and all these people that all wrote songs around, and they all helped me with it. So I didn't give them any credit. But
I was just going to say... Not a bad group of people, though, to help you write your song. Now, how about this next one, Pine Tops Boogie? That's a real old one that I used to hear Mead, Lux, Lewis and Pine Top play that on a record in England years ago. So
I learned this song from James Booker, who recorded this with in 1956 for Aladdin Records. And back then I was playing guitar, but... It's always been a song that I enjoyed, and I like to put a lyric in with it that Chris Kenner wrote called Sick and Tired.
Okay.
Whoa, baby, what you gonna do? Whoa, baby, what you gonna do? No, I'm sick and tired fooling up around with you. You know, I get home in the morning fixing something to eat. Before I go to work, I even wash your feet. Come back in the evening and you're still in the bed. Got a rag tied around your head. Oh, baby, what you gonna do? You know, I'm sick and tired fooling around with you. This is my last time telling you to change your ways. Telling you, baby, and I mean what I say. Last time telling you to stop the jive. Gonna find yourself outside. Oh, baby.
How old were you when you started playing? Teenager?
No, I was about 6, 7 years old. I learned how to play one hand of the Texas boogie. You know, the...
That's not that easy to do, really. I know the first time I tried it. Or when you do it in other keys, it's hard. I guess it's not so bad in C.
It took me forever to learn how to do something different with my right hand and my left hand. I know my uncle taught me that you should have had to keep the rhythm the same, even though the notes were different, until I could learn how to get some kind of independence. But I was about... maybe 12 or 13 by the time I quit driving them crazy with the same thing with both hands forever. But I think that and Everybody Loves My Baby was like some of the first tunes that I remember hearing back when I was, you know, around my family, at least.
Well, did you learn it by ear? Are you self-taught?
Well, I took guitar lessons, but I never took any really piano lessons. I had some very good guitar teachers, Paul and Al Gooma and Roy Montrell and Walter Papoose Nelson, and the last two guys worked with Fast Domino's band and were studio guitar players and got me in this working like as a sub for them on record dates when I was like 15 years old, and I kind of slid into the recording scene as a teenager through that. And
as a guitar player?
Yes.
And then you got into piano a little later?
Well, what happened in 1960, I was in a brawl and got in a shot in my finger, and I couldn't play the guitar for a while, so I had to play bass with the Dixieland band for a year, and I wasn't real happy playing the bass because I didn't mind playing the electric bass, but the upright bass, I played a little bit out of position. It was real hard for me to keep, you know, stay in position with it, so...
The tunes they play, you probably had to play in two.
All night.
See, that must have been pretty boring after a while. Just keep going.
Well, the worst part to me was a lot of... They weren't... The guys that I worked with at the time weren't like New Orleans Dixieland bands. More of them played more Kansas City style and all the other kind of stuff. And the stuff I loved was real New Orleans stuff at the time. And it was very frustrating to me to play with various New Orleans bands that weren't playing New Orleans jazz, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it really got me crazy just because they didn't play anything in the book that was real New Orleans.
Well, like what, for instance?
Well, I mean, they'd play, you know, whether it was like Wolverine Blues or Strutting with some Barbican, any of those tunes, they'd play them. And when they'd swing them, they'd be like more Kansas City style. Like, instead of playing, like in New Orleans, we played a 2-4 thing like... Wouldn't have that in their thing. It would just be two, you know. Very square. And then when they walked the things, it was very straight walking. They didn't want anything kind of hip at all. It was just keep it very... But I worked for like a year at Hip Ginley's famous Dual Lounge down there. And I think when Hip offered me the gig for the rest of my life, I said, I quit, and I don't want no more parts of this, and I started playing. James Booker at the time taught me how to play organ to take a gig at three clubs that were like, you know, it was at the time Jimmy Smith was getting popular. And
oh, yeah.
So there was a lot of organ gigs, so James taught me how to play the Hammond B3 organ, and... It turned into a whole new career for me playing. I never got through the lessons where I learned how to play the hand bass a la Jimmy Smith and all, but I did at least learn the foot pedals and the stops and how to play enough to get through doing the kind of gigs we were doing there.
God, that's the hardest part for me was the footwork. I had to play it. I played at somebody's funeral once, and I went in early when nobody was in the church and marked off the foot pedals with a lipstick so that I would know what to hit when I was playing this certain hymn.
Right.
So, well, how about if we try a duet, John? It's a tune from a movie that Louis Armstrong sang in the movie, I think. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans?
All right.
Okay. To hear the full piano jazz broadcast,
Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.